Six.
Continue looking at 100 ways and reasons to use tracts. Number 41, tracts can start a conversation. You can use it just to begin to witness to somebody if you have the time to talk. Number 42, tracts reinforce what you say about the gospel in a conversation, talk, or sermon. Listen, if you have the opportunity to witness to somebody, one of the best things you can do is give them a track and say, listen, this talks about what we talked about. If they didn't make a decision, it's a great opportunity for them then to go back and look and kind of review what you've already had a chance to teach them. And then 43, tracts get their message across when no conversation is possible, in a letter, with a bill payment, or when you've only a second with another person. And so those are three more reasons or ways to use a tract. How many of y'all, just out of curiosity, put tracts in your bills? You put it in there and you send it back with your bill. Anybody do that? Several people. Listen, somebody's got to open that somewhere. Amen? All right. Continue looking at the book of Galatians. We talked about we talked about restoration last week. We're going to start reading in verse 1. We'll review that and then continue to move on. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 2 talks about bearing burdens one for another. I want to talk about that just for a few seconds. I want to park on that, but we're going to hopefully get through verse 5 tonight. But I want you to think about this. There are some times in life that you will go through something that is so difficult and so heavy that it's something that will be very nearly impossible to get through on your own strength. Now, I'm not talking about the strength of the flesh, but I'm talking about just someone that comes along to help you, to reinforce your faith. Is this thing still not on? Nope, it's on orange. Is that good or bad? There we go. I must have double pressed it. I don't know if that's like double clutching, that's not good, all right? This idea of bearing one another's burden, I think in context, I want to definitely spell out the context. It's in the context, I believe, of verse 1, talking about when somebody commits a sin, when they are burdened with their sin, and let's say they get restored. Remember, we talked about restoration is not just a one-time act of confronting somebody. It's coming alongside of somebody and helping them get up. Now, I believe verse 2 is saying, listen, once they get up, isn't the temptation for that person to go back into that sin so much more greater than someone that's never even experienced that sin? I believe oftentimes somebody that used to be an alcoholic now has a propensity and a temptation that maybe I wouldn't have. I'm not really tempted to drink poison or take poison and put it into my body, okay? But somebody that has been an alcoholic, that is a temptation for them that is a great burden. And listen, if you are helping somebody and you're restoring them and they're restored to Christ, now they're restored to the church, it's not time to take the training wheels off and just push them down the hill. What it is time then is to continue to put your arm around them and allow them to be strengthened. Let me tell you something about verses 1 through 5 here. There is a great investment of your time that is going to be needed. There's no way around discipleship. There is no correspondence discipleship that is as effective as a one-on-one investment of your life and time into somebody's life. And so as we have opportunity, then we ought to be bearing one another's burdens. Now, that is the direct context. I believe there's a broader application of that, and maybe not even sin, but just the difficult times that people go through. So I want to stop for a second. What are some? This is a Bible study, all right? So we'll go ahead and have a little interaction here. What exactly are some difficulties that people go through that you think, I just don't know how they're going to get through this? I can tell you one, there's a mother and a young child going through it right now as Officer Tim Brakeen passed away from a gunshot wound. I'm sure most of you have heard that they've caught the perpetrator, and we praise the Lord for that. But that does not bring her husband back. And so she's going through a very, very difficult time. She's part of a good church. I believe she's a member of Faith Baptist. And so I know that her church family is going to gather around here right now, around her, excuse me, and help her to get through that. And so what is another example of a burden that can be almost too much to carry on our own? Does anybody want to offer up something? Hey, if your house burns down. I mean, that's a great tragedy. Not a good tragedy, but it's a severe tragedy. Anybody else have? Yes, ma'am. Yes, losing a child. That's one I was thinking of as well. Just as much as losing a husband or losing a child, it'd be very, very devastating. Gloria? Being abandoned? Absolutely. Losing a parent can be absolutely devastating. Yes. A flood in Louisiana. Our neighbor just came back from Louisiana. Her parents are down there, and she's just reporting it's like a wasteland down there still, 5 weeks later. It's been absolutely, yes, sir. Yeah, you're talking about no longer having an income. That can be a tremendous burden to carry. How am I going to pay the bills? You know, how am I going to get groceries? Yes, sir. Losing a pastor. I think I've seen some churches, unfortunately, that have been decimated when their pastor goes off into sin or something like that happens. These are all examples of burdens that people have to carry. Now, the great thing about this church in particular, and I believe probably most Baptist churches, is that when you joined Maranatha Baptist Church, whether you realized it or not, you read our Constitution and our Statement of Faith. And right in the middle of that, on page 11, on the fourth paragraph down, it says something like this. It says, "We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy of speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful the rules of our Savior, and to secure reconciliation without delay." I don't think we need a covenant necessarily to see one another carry each other's burden. But I did want to remind you that you did agree to that when you joined Maranatha Baptist Church. That's a covenant. We talk about the marriage covenant. That's agreement that you didn't make with me and the deacons or whoever the pastor might have been and the deacon. That's an agreement you made with God. Now, how do we go about bearing one another's burdens? Let me tell you that word the burden is carries with this idea of a heavy weight that is carried for a very long time. And by the way, when it says to bear each other's burdens, it's not a suggestion. It is a command saying you will carry each other's burdens. So, how do we do that? Is there a way that we can carry one another's burdens? I think that's the very first thing, is prayer. Absolutely. Listen, it's not when all else fails, pray. It is pray and then look for guidance from God and do, and then I believe you're exactly right. What tangible things can I do to help? Listen, bearing the burden without praying is just alleviating a little bit of stress. I don't really think it's really bearing the burden, because I think you got to go to God in order to help with somebody's spiritual condition. You understand that? But can I tell you, just to slap somebody on the back and say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," and you're out the door, that's no more bearing their burden than trying to do something without prayer. So the first step has to be prayer. And you're beseeching, you're interceding on their behalf. Let me tell you, there's a reason why we have the intelligent prayer guide for our missionaries. Now we go through and call all the prayers, prayer requests, and the praises that they've given over the last 2 months. We put that into a booklet so you can take that home and what? Help to bear their burden. Let me tell you what would be an encouragement to them as well, if you wrote them a note. Here's a little email. Man, if you actually sent them something. Joanna, did you like to get things in the mail? Did you like email or mail better, or is it anything that just acknowledged that you were alive somewhere? Okay. Just something saying, hey, you know what? We haven't forgot about you. Now, you might pray for somebody all the time. That doesn't mean you have to tell them every time you pray for them. Although we were talking about this the other day, sometimes people probably figure, man, they're only praying for me like once every 3 months. I get a little note saying, hey, praying for you. No, that's the only time I'm telling you. But listen, you're bearing their burden. You're interceding on their behalf. And then you're just kind of reminding them about it. And if there's something else you can do for them tangibly, you ought to do it. I think she was saying, hey, listen, if there's somebody going through a hard time, you take the kids and you watch the kids a little while. Or if somebody's getting counseling, you say, hey, listen, I'll take care of this while you guys go. Whatever it might be, you are not just praying for them. We say just like it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. That's the first step, but that's not the only step. And so another way to actually help somebody is to spend your life or pour your life into theirs. It might be a time of discipleship. And you might be the discipler in this instance, and they're disciplee, and you have an opportunity to go through the Bible and encourage them and reinforce some truths that are going to help them. Maybe if it's talking about in context this sin, you're going to help reinforce those areas of their life that they are tempted most in. Maybe it's being an accountability partner. Have you ever told somebody this? Listen, this is my number. You give me a call no matter what time of day or night if you find yourself tempted. What? That is investing yourself. That is helping them to carry the burden and then be available. Don't look at that call and say, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't believe they're calling me. That's the time they need you most. So what I'm saying is, as we think of this idea of bearing each other's burdens, that is the lifeblood of the Christian walk. Do you understand that? So much so that we said, hey, we want to remind you of this truth when you join this church, that you are joining a family. What's the very first word of chapter 6? Brethren. Brethren. Remember we talked about the relationship? We are brothers and sisters. We're a family in Christ right here in Maranatha. And so when somebody hurts or suffers, guess what? The whole church suffers. You know, it's like we talked about hammering your thumb. That pain radiates through the entire body. And pretty soon you realize that no matter what you're doing, you find yourself trying to use that hurt part of your body that you never even used. But when I broke my collarbone, I had no idea that I used my collarbone to actually stand up. What in the world is that all about? All right? That's crazy. But it affected everything I did in my life when there was a broken bone. Listen, when somebody is hurting, when somebody is suffering in our church, it affects the entire body. So we ought to do what we can to bear their burden. First of all, we ought to pray. Second of all, we ought to do something tangible in their lives that is going to help them. And whether that is to watch something for them or do something for them or disciple them, you are investing your life. It takes time and energy and effort. But I'll tell you this, it is worth it. It is worth it. When you see somebody that God has allowed you to be an influence in their life, or just to be their accountability partner, or in some way have a positive influence for Christ in their life. When you see them living for the Lord, I'll just tell you, you just want to shout, hallelujah, praise God, somebody is living for Jesus. It's thrilling. It is thrilling. He finishes that thought by saying, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, isn't it interesting? In all the books of the Bible, that one of the only times this phrase, law of Christ, is used is Galatians. Why is that interesting? Who is this book written to? It's written to a bunch of churches that had these Judaizers in them that were all about the law, the law, the law, the law. Listen, you got to get Christ and you have to be circumcised. It's not just faith, it's faith and works. You got to be a good Jew. Listen, if you want to be a good Jew, you can have part of that Christianity thing, but you still have to fulfill the law of Moses. And so, in a sense, he's reminding them, it's kind of a contradiction in terms, if you will. What is the law of Christ? It's a four-letter word that starts with L and rhymes with dove, all right? It's love. It's love. That is the law of Christ. He talks about a new commandment that's not a new commandment that he's given to you, that you what? Love one another. Romans 8 talks about how we don't owe anything to anybody except what? Love. Love. Listen, we're to have that love one for another. That is why we don't need to have it written down and signed to say, yes, I will fulfill this as an obligation and a duty. Listen, love demands that we do it because we want to do it. And isn't it true? And I see it constantly in this church, and I praise God for it. When somebody is hurting, listen, the whole church is rushing in some way to help. And whether that's bringing over meals or doing something, and I'll tell you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. But you say, so why are you preaching on it? Because God's talking about it. And I want to encourage you not to give up that spirit of love that we have one for another. And so as you see those that are hurting, you ought to rally around them and gather around them and pray for them and let them know that you're praying for them and ask them, hey, is there something that we can do that would be a help? And then let me tell you this. When I see this, it tells me a few things. Number one, there's going to be people that are bearing burdens. All right? There are burdens that we are going to be faced with. The second thing that I see is there's going to be burdens that we're faced with that are big and heavy. Do you understand? And so the third thing that I see is that we cannot be too prideful, number one, to help somebody, and number two, to receive help. Now, I'm preaching at myself a little bit here, okay? It certainly is easier to help somebody, but I'll tell you, you got to be careful, especially in light of verse 1, if it's a sin that they've fallen into. Remember, the spiritual people were the ones that were saying, not saying, ha-ha, I knew this was going to happen, or being condescending. It was one that said, listen, I'm willing to go and help, but it said, be careful that you don't fall into the same temptation that the person that fell did. Okay, so then when you move on to this idea of helping somebody with a burden, you've got to be able to help them without being condescending or prideful that it wasn't you that fell. Second of all, the person that is carrying that burden cannot be too prideful to receive help. I think I've shared this story before. You'll probably hear it again someday. But I remember when Missy and I were members here of Maranatha Baptist Church, and we were just a couple. We didn't. I don't think we had Quincy at that time. And Thanksgiving rolled around, and we received from Pastor Camp a note saying that our family was going to receive the Thanksgiving meal, you know, that they'd put together. And I didn't really want it. I was like, I think that's for poor people, right? People that are in need. Well, certainly we weren't very off, very well with finances, as many of you college kids can understand. And it was humbling, let me put it to say the least. It was humbling. And it was a blessing, by the way, when we received that. But if we're too prideful to receive the help that God has given to us, I wish I would have written down this verse, but there's a time where Paul was praying that God would give him comfort. And he writes about how Titus came and gave him comfort. It wasn't that he just waited on God's a refill or some kind of feeling to overwash him and praise God. He praised God for working through Titus. Do you understand that as you carry your burden and someone, especially from your church family, comes alongside of you and says, listen, I want to help you with this. I'm praying for you, but what can I do for you? You know what? You're going to have to open up and say, listen, it would be a big help if you did this. It might be a help if you just came over, and if you're willing and you're able to, can you just come over and kind of clean the house a little bit? I'm embarrassed to ask, and it's hard, but that's just where I'm at. Or you know, listen, my yard needs mowed, and I haven't been able to get out. Can you just help me in that area? Whatever it might be, those are things that you think, that's kind of embarrassing. You know, that's somebody that's trying to be a blessing. And if they've been sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that means that God has sent them to help you. It might be something more serious than that. I don't know. But if they're offering to help, don't let your pride get in the way of God's program. Do you understand? That's easy to preach. That's not easy to live. But I'll tell you what will happen when you do that. A couple of things will happen. Number one, you'll see God's goodness in your life. Because you're going to see, if you're wise, you will see Him as the giver of that gift from that person, that God is working through that person. Second of all, it will draw you closer to the person that is being a blessing to you. I've seen this happen before where somebody makes themselves available. They want to be a blessing. And what happens is not just a church familial relationship, but a real deep friendship then is formed. And it's just a blessing. Both of those things are a result of listening to God's leading and then allowing somebody to help you in that time of need. And so he's very clear when he says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, that law of love. For if a man, in verse 3, think himself to be something when he is nothing, he has deceived himself. This really smacks of two different ideas, I think. Number one, we could think of the verse in James where it talks about he that heareth the word and doeth it not deceiveth him his own self, right? Listen, when we think that we're walking with the Lord, or we really have convinced ourselves that we're walking with the Lord, when we know we're not, it's impossible to go and help somebody else. And so I think it's referring back up to verse 1 there, talking about ye which are spiritual, and do it in the spirit of meekness, because you cannot restore somebody if you're not meek. And if you think that you are something, take heed when ye think ye stand, lest ye fall, the Bible says. Turn your Bibles to, just very quickly, Matthew chapter 7. Probably the most quoted verse in all the Bible. Rivals even John 3:16, at least the first two words. You say, what? As soon as you see it, you're going to say, oh, yes, you're right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not. That's probably all the further most of the world knows, but we're going to continue reading. That ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, it shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. All right, so we know the world says, well, obviously this is saying that we should never judge somebody else. Isn't that what you always hear? Well, don't judge me. Only God judges me. That's a real popular saying. I hear that from time to time. I've even seen shirts that say, only God judges me. And I say, boy, that is true. One day you are going to be judged by God, and it's not going to be very fun either. You know, I don't think it's going to be fun when I get judged by God, but I'm glad that at the end it'll be forgiven. Amen? And so, as we think of this idea, how do we reconcile verse 1 with this idea that Jesus is talking about, how that we're going to be a hypocrite if we judge somebody? Well, that's not what that passage is saying at all, is it? It is saying that with the judgment that we judge somebody else, that's the judgment that we are really the rule or the law in which we're going to be judged by. I don't like to use the word law, but what does that mean? That means that if you are trying to counsel somebody from God's Word, are you not responsible to fulfill God's Word? By the way, does that not tell you in Galatians 6, verse 1, where it says, ye which are spiritual, does that mean that you can be in a place or a position that you can go help a brother that stumbled or a sister that stumbled? Yes. But the only caution and apprehension that we ought to have is that we don't go to them in pride. It's not wrong to take a self-assessment and say, you know what, to the best of my knowledge, my relationship with God is right, and I'm walking in the Spirit, and this brother could use some help, and I'm going to go see how I can help them. Or this sister is needing some help. I'm going to go see how I can help her. Or they need restored. Or whatever it might be. But if you go thinking that you're something, but there's sin in your life, you're not going to be any help to that person at all. You're deceiving yourself. You're not going to be any help to that person. And it may be that you make the situation worse than what it was or would have been had you just kept your nose out and got yourself right with God. And so, maybe it would be a better idea if when you see somebody stumbling, you take a self-assessment and say, God, is there something in my life? Listen, I don't want to end up a castaway. I don't want to be outside of your will. And so get right with God and then go and help that other brother. It's interesting, a man thinking himself to be something. Back in 1988, there was a presidential candidate that was accused of being a womanizer. Now, this is the presidential election before the Clintons came in, okay? And so it's not him. But there was another guy, and he happened to be a Democratic candidate, and he was accused of being a womanizer. And there was that reputation just kept dogging him. Finally, he had a press conference, and he says, listen, why don't you just follow me around? I don't care who you are. You just follow me around. It'll be the most boring time of your life because I am not a womanizer. And it wasn't within, I don't know how long, just a couple of weeks. It might have been that week. I don't know. That the press took him up on that. And later, at some point, they got pictures of him on a yacht with a young lady that was not his wife. Listen, you know what? He thought he was something. He tried to pretend and put out a facade, but it tanked his candidacy. I would imagine his marriage as well. I don't know. But he had a potential to be the president of the United States, but he thought he was something when he was not. And I'll just tell you, we had better not be castaways when we are going to help someone else. Very quickly, let's go through verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. I believe that is just talking about your walk with the Lord and making sure that your life is right, making sure that your testimony is right, and that rejoicing is not a prideful boasting, but it is an assurance knowing that your walk with God is right and you're not it says, and not in another. Listen, you ought to be focused on Christ and not another. We were talking about pastors that fall. Listen, your hope is in Christ, not in me. I want to be an example. It's clear that the pastor has to be an example to the flock. But listen, we've got to make sure that Christ is preeminent, and he is the one in the forefront of our hearts and lives. But I wanted to get very quickly to verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. How do we reconcile that with verse 2? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. It sounds contradictory, but you have to understand these are actually two different Greek words that are used here. And the first word carries with it this idea of a heavy weight that you're going to carry for a long, long time. But the second burden in verse 5 really carries with this idea of being a soldier's backpack. And with that, the connotation that there are some personal responsibilities that we all have. Okay? And so, if you were to say, try to compare those two, you say, what would be the difference? I would say verse 2 is if someone is going through a hard time and you want to help them, or let's say I'm going through a difficult time and you say, listen, Pastor, I want to watch the kids while you go out golfing. He said, Pastor, I didn't know you golf. I didn't. It's just a make-up story, okay? That's how far-fetched it is. But what I'm saying is that would be helping with that burden in verse 2. But you know what? They will still be my children, and I'm still responsible for how the way that they are raised and nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is my responsibility. I can't give that to somebody else. There are burdens that we carry that weigh us down, that we can have help with, but there is personal responsibilities that each one of us has. And whether it's at the workplace or in the home or in the community, we all have a burden that we have to carry that's our own, a responsibility that we carry through. For some of you, it's being a mother. For some of you, it's being a student. For some of you, it's being a father or a husband or a wife or an employee or an employer, whatever it might be. There are responsibilities you can't just dish off and say, listen, I'm just going to stay at home and collect a check. That's not godly. That's ungodly. That's not biblical. That's unbiblical. You've got to make sure that you are fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given you. That's what he's saying. He's saying every man shall bear his own burden. What responsibility has God given to you to fulfill in your life right now? You know, for all of us, it's different because we're at different stages of our life. Some of you are not married. Some of you have just gotten married. Some of you have children. Some of you have grandchildren. Some of you may even have great-grandchildren. Amen, Mrs. Smith? Yeah, amen. Some of you hope to have great-grandchildren someday. I know I do. That's double the spoiling is what I've heard. But the truth of the matter is God has given us each, the situation and season of life that we're in, the responsibility that He wants us to carry out for His glory. And so I just have really two questions for you tonight. As a Christian and a member of Maranatha Baptist Church, are you helping to bear anybody's burden? Are you investing your life into somebody else? Are you praying for them on a regular basis? Listen, if not, why not? I'm not saying that we always have somebody that's going through a very difficult time, but I tell you, I guarantee you ask anybody in here, would you like me to pray for you this week? If somebody tells you no, come talk to me, okay? We're going to have a little spiritual checkup. But second of all, I'd like you to ask this question, ask yourself this question. What responsibilities has God given to me, and am I fulfilling them to the best of my ability? If not, why not? And whatever the answer to that is, you take care of that, and then you get right. Because if you're not doing verse 5, you cannot do verse 1 and 2. You've got to be caring and being, to the best of your ability, carrying out your responsibilities before you can go and help somebody else. And yet we're called to go help other people. You know what that means? That means we're called to walk in the Spirit. Because when we walk in the Spirit, we're going to be doing verse 5, and we'll have the capability and the ability to do verse 2. So I hope that you will look at your own lives tonight and ask yourself, am I bearing my burden? Am I fulfilling my responsibility? And if so, am I helping anyone else along the way? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Galatians. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be introspective tonight, not to the point that where we get a paralysis of analysis, Lord, but so that we can allow the Holy Spirit of God to point out and highlight some things in our life that maybe we need to get right, or maybe that we need to fulfill or put forth more effort. Or, Lord, maybe we just need to have our eyes open a little wider to see who might be hurting around us and being able to lend a hand and to pray for them and give them the chance. Listen, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'd like to ask you about verse 5, fulfilling your responsibilities. Is there maybe something in your life the Holy Spirit has showed you tonight? You say, you know, I'm not really fulfilling that part of the responsibility that God's given me. I'm not going to try to list them all. There's too many. But the Holy Spirit can pinpoint that in your life just like that if you allow Him. Listen, if that's you tonight, would you be willing to raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to begin fulfilling this responsibility in my life. Is there anyone at all? Yes. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else? Amen. I'm looking around one last time. Amen. All right, let me ask this last question then. You say, by God's grace, I believe I'm fulfilling the responsibilities that God's given me, but I'm really not being a help to those in my church that may be hurting. I'm not helping to bear their burden, but by God's grace, I'm going to ask Him to open my eyes and to help me to see who might need a hand in carrying their burden. Listen, if that's you, would you just raise your hand and I'll pray for you in just a moment. Yes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. Yes. Put it right back down. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at ourselves in it, I pray that you would help us not to leave forgetting what manner of man or woman we might be. But Lord, we want to be transformed more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to fulfill that law of love. And so I pray tonight that you would help those that realize there's some aspect of their life and responsibilities, some aspect of their life that they're not fulfilling your will in their lives, Lord. Would you help them to fulfill their responsibilities to the best of their ability, just to walk in the Spirit? And then, Lord, I pray for those that said, you know, I might be walking in the Spirit. I might be right, but I'm really not looking to see who I can help along the way. Would you help us to be aware, to be sensitive, Lord, to your leading and to the hurts and the trials and the tribulations of others. And Lord, if you'll do that, we'll thank you so much in using us in a way that glorifies you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.